with the weight of the world.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of TriSceptor Productions or the Superhuman Channel. TriSceptor Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Okay, during the first hour today, we're going to be talking about some information, breaking research in the area of longevity. We'll be talking to a John Hopkins scientist who has perhaps found a way to turn on the fountain of youth. And later in the show, we're going to be talking about when the media runs with information found in an abstract of some scientific research and gets everything wrong. Quite often when you dig into the research, you find out that the abstract was really not accurate in what the findings were. We're going to have a discussion with Dr. Andro about that later in the show. A couple announcements we have to make. First of all, AgeForce is offering a free trial on their new hydroxy B12, hydroxycobalamin patch, as well as their melatonin patch. You can get a free month supply. Go to superhumanradio.com, click the banner ad for AgeForce, and use the coupon code free, SHR free. It's right there on the banner. Also, just want to remind everybody, tomorrow's going to be a different type of Casual Friday. During the first hour of Casual Friday tomorrow, we're going to be reading emails, posts, and messages that we've gotten on iTunes from listeners about the show. During the second hour, Uber lobbyist Jack Abramoff will be on the show. We're going to be talking about what the lobbyists are doing up on Capitol Hill that are really hurting our ability to get our hands on healthy, nutritious food, how we are being sold down the river to the highest bidder. But let's get started with some positive information. My first guest today is Dr. Jeff Buca from Johns Hopkins. How are you doing, Dr. Buca?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
And thanks for coming aboard to talk about this very important subject. You recently were involved in publishing a study that may have some ramifications on longevity, correct?
Right.
So tell me about this study. What was it? How was the study designed?
Okay. Well, we came at this actually from a very basic fundamental perspective. We like to work on what makes cells tick.
Okay.
And our model for what makes cells tick is that human cells are way, way, way too complicated to work with.
Right.
So we work with a simple microorganism, yeast, and specifically the species known as Saccharomyces cerevisiae, which is the very same organism that some of your listeners may use to bake bread or brew beer.
There you go. Okay.
And we've been studying a process that happens in all cells and all organisms called protein acetylation.
Okay.
Now, as you know, proteins are the sort of workhorses of the cell. They carry out all the functions that cells need to perform to make new copies of themselves and to do all the wonderful things that they do.
Right.
And they're made of amino acids, 20 different amino acids. They are put together one by one by a wonderful microscopic machine inside our cells called the ribosome.
Okay.
Now, in addition to that, that's sort of like the baseline, that's the factory that cranks out the proteins in the cell. But in addition to that, there's a series of things called protein modifiers, which take those proteins and put a little chemical decoration on them in very, very specific spots just like if you were to put, say, a star on the top of a Christmas tree, these protein-modifying enzymes make a chemical change to one of those amino acids in the protein and thereby change its properties.
Okay.
Now, this has been known for a long time.
And this is actually the acetylation process that you're describing right now?
Yes. Okay. So acetylation is one specific type of protein modification, but there are many.
Right.
And in the last 10 years, acetylation has become much more, it's become obvious that it's much more important than we realized. Most of the early work was done on another modification called phosphorylation, which uses
right.
phosphate. And acetylation starts with a very simple molecule, which is acetic acid, also the main component of vinegar.
Right, exactly.
And so basically that molecule, that chemical compound, acetic acid, gets transferred onto the proteins at a very specific residue, specifically lysine, which, as you know, is a very important amino acid.
Right.
So anyway, to make a long story short, my colleagues and I developed a method, a brand new method for mapping out which proteins get this specific type of modification. The modifications don't just happen by themselves, but they're put on by an enzyme. And there are multiple enzymes that put acetyl groups onto proteins, and we were studying one specific one called NuA4.
Okay.
Now, where the longevity comes in, is we knew one of the things wonderful things we can do with yeast is we know a lot about its genes, and it's very easy to manipulate its genes. And so we had mutations that affect the enzyme, which is called an acetyltransferase.
Okay.
And we knew that those mutations led to a shortening of the lifespan of the yeast.
Dramatically shortening.
Yes, dramatically.
Okay.
However, it turns out that there are lots and lots of mutations that can cause shortening of lifespan for kind of trivial reasons. So what you'd like to see, and what's much more compelling, is a mutation that makes the yeast live longer.
By upregulating the process, so to speak.
Yes, yes. So, so we figured that the reason that this mutant had a short lifespan might be because there's one magic protein that it puts a decoration on, and that's the protein that's really has the effect on lifespan. Because this protein, this acetyltransferase, this enzyme, puts acetyl groups on many, many different proteins, so the mutant that doesn't produce very much of this has lots and lots of problems besides an aging, besides a short lifespan.
Okay.
So to try to pinpoint that, we used a technology called protein chips. Okay, your listeners may be familiar with DNA chips or gene chips.
Right.
In which tiny snippets of DNA are put in tiny dots on the surface of a glass slide, a microscope slide. Well, in this case, what's done is that the individual proteins are put into those tiny spots. And since yeast encodes 6,000 different proteins, essentially what we started with was a protein chip with 6,000 individually purified proteins on it. Now, that's a great it's a difficult thing to do, and luckily my colleague next door is an expert on this, and so we got together with him and used his chips, and then we asked which of the 6,000 proteins get acetylated by this particular enzyme.
Right.
And we found that there were about 75 of the 6,000 that lit up.
Okay. That's narrowing things down pretty quickly, a little bit faster than even American Idol does with their singers right there. So that was pretty good.
Exactly. Okay. A lot of them got voted off the island.
Yeah, real fast.
So now we're down to 75. And now, of course, one of the great things about working on yeast, which you may be surprised to learn, there are probably 2,000 labs around the world that study brewer's yeast.
Genetics. Well, and in fact, it should be said that a lot of research starts with yeast, then goes to C. elegans, worms, then goes to mice, and then goes upstream from there. Quite often, many of the things that play out in yeast play out further up the road with more complex life forms. But it's a lot easier, as you point out, to start with yeast, right?
Exactly right, and that's precisely one of the reasons why so many people are working on it, because it's a powerful model, would be another way of putting it.
Right.
And
so of these 75, and we have to take a break, and this is really getting interesting now. So of these 75 that have been acetylated by the acetyl transferase.
Yes.
Now the job then becomes narrowing down out of these 75, which really has an impact on longevity, correct?
Precisely.
Okay.
Precisely.
Here's what we have to do. We have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to take it from the 75 and move forward from there and explain to the audience how you went from there to the one that did the job, okay?
Got it.
We're talking with Dr. Jeff Buca from John Hopkins. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechanogrowth Factor, or PT-144,
41, or hard-to-find peptides like triptorelin or follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about the possibility of switching on the fountain of youth. We're talking this hour with Dr. Jeff Buca. And as we were going into the break, we discovered that the 6,000 potential targets of its effect were narrowed down to 75, and we now have that 75. So how do you go? Do you test each individual one to see what it does, or is there still a thinning of the herd approach here, Dr. Buca?
Well, so you could in principle do that, but the amount of work involved would be horrendous.
Right, exactly.
And the reason is that right now we may have identified 75 proteins, but each of those 75 proteins has on average something like 300 or 400 amino acids. And any one of those lysines in those proteins could be the magic spot. So not only do we have to find the right protein, but we have to find the right spot on the right protein.
Yeah, the right sequence, exactly.
Yeah. So the next step actually was to sit and think and go to the library and read up on the various genes. And lo and behold, some work had shown that a protein, CYP2, that was on the list, that the mutations in that protein had effects on lifespan.
Really?
Yeah. And so we said, aha, now this is an interesting connection. Moreover, CYP2 is what we call a regulatory protein, and it regulates a very, very central, it's a regulator of a regulator. Okay, so,
okay.
You know, things are complicated inside cells.
If the brain had a brain, in other words.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
So you could also think of the regulator, which is called AMP kinase,
right.
as a kind of thermostat that senses the energy state of cells. And it, depending on the energy state, so... Your listeners probably know that sort of the central currency in the cell of energy is a molecule called ATP.
Sure.
And when ATP levels are high, that's one thing, but when ATP levels drop low, this system detects that and it takes all kinds of actions.
Okay.
So that's an enzyme that needs to know when it should be on and when it should be off.
Okay. Now,
yes, go ahead.
This CYP2.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar what is the standard lifespan of yeast, for instance?
Ah, well, now that's an interesting point. We'll digress on that for a minute.
Okay.
You may be wondering, well, gee, a microorganism, doesn't that just split into two cells and then those two cells split into four cells and so on and so forth? And if that were true, then they would never die, right?
Right.
And that's a good thing to be thinking. But it turns out that in yeast, the division of the cells is not symmetrical. Okay.
Ah, so it's almost it's actually more like offspring then.
Yeah, exactly. So you don't draw a line through the middle of the cell and cut it in half,
right.
But instead it reproduces by a process known as budding.
Ah.
So a little bud begins to grow and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then it breaks off, you know, gets its own set of genes and so on and breaks off. And so you can define under the microscope what's called the mother cell and the daughter cell.
Right.
Now every time the mother cell has a baby, so to speak, there's actually a scar left on the surface of the mother cell. And you can see these under the microscope and count them. And by doing this, you can actually know how many times that cell has been a mother cell.
Okay.
But that's not a very accurate measurement, and it's kind of difficult.
I was going to say, unless it has a specific gestational process, like it only produces one bud a year, then you could say, well, one bud an hour, then you could say, well, we have 16 scars. This has been around for 16 hours.
Well, that is essentially true. It would be an hour and a half, actually.
Oh, wow.
But the way we actually measure it much more accurately is we sit down at the microscope and we take a mother cell and the bud grows, and then using a very fine glass needle, it's actually possible to pick up the daughter cell and move it aside. And then you have to come back to the microscope every 90 minutes and keep doing that. And eventually the mother cell will start slowing down and then stop budding altogether. And that's the number that you record. And that is referred to as the replicative lifespan in yeast.
Interesting.
Now, it's different from our lifespan. Very different, right?
Sure.
But interestingly, there seem to be a lot of parallels. So you may be familiar with some enzymes called sirtuins.
Yeah, so we talk about them because of their effects. You know, that they were first really scrutinized through caloric restriction.
Exactly.
SIRT1 and so on. And then obviously the jury is still out whether or not the resveratrol research actually proved it. But it was said that resveratrol also upregulated sirtuins.
That's correct. But as you point out, that's now really been called into question by some recent research.
But one thing that still does upregulate sirtuins, for the audience to hear, that you can do yourself is periodic intermittent fasting. Fasting for about 10 to 12 hours once a week actually has been shown to be as effective as caloric restriction in upregulating sirtuins, just for the record. There you go.
Ha. Huh. All right. Well, okay. I'll have to try that tonight.
There you go.
Okay, so where were we? Well, so two interesting points. One is that the caloric restriction can property can be recapitulated in yeast. So
right. We
can grow yeast in a very low glucose medium, and that mimics caloric restriction, or we can grow it in a high glucose medium. And you definitely get your mother cell will pop off a few more buds in the low glucose medium.
How do you like that?
That's been known for a long time, and that was one of the very exciting reasons why yeast is considered a kind of model for aging.
Okay.
You asked what the lifespan is. So it's basically somewhere between 20 and 30 daughter cells that one mother cell can give rise to.
So 20 to 30 reproductive cycles.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. So that's what we're talking about. And so if you do the math, you can see that, you know, somebody's got to sit at the microscope for a couple of days to do these experiments.
Do they really do that? Do they really sit there continuously for a couple of days, or you shift and somebody gets up and leaves and somebody else sits down and finishes?
Well, we don't want to sleep deprive our workers. So it turns out you can put the plate in the refrigerator overnight and then start up again in the morning. But have to do like 3 days of continuous dissection, because you can't just measure one cell. You got to measure a whole bunch of them and average them out.
Right, right. Okay. All right. So the average lifespan then, in summary, is 20 to 30 reproductive cycles. So
right.
When you started to work with, what was it, SIP2?
Mm-hmm.
And you discovered that this had some impact on longevity. I guess,
yep.
According to the research, the first thing you did was you removed SIP2, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this greatly shortened the lifespan.
Right.
How short? I mean, where did we go from 20 to 30? Where did we go to?
Maybe 15, 10 or 15.
Ah, so great.
Somewhere in that.
Okay, gotcha.
Somewhere
okay.
in that neighborhood.
Okay.
But the really exciting thing we can do is, well, well, one more step we have to do before we can do the exciting experiment, and that is we had to map out where exactly this acetyl group was being put on which lysine, and that we did with using a technique called mass spectrometry, and we found there were actually four lysines that were acetylated. And then we did various experiments to prove that, yes, those are really put on by this same enzyme that we've been studying. And then we can do a genetic trick, which is we can substitute for the lysines at those positions a different amino acid that looks a little bit like an acetyl lysine.
Okay.
And lo and behold, when we change those four lysines to this other amino acid, glutamine, we got a super long-lived yeast.
Wow.
So that's the real killer experiment right there.
So when we say super long-lived, did it actually double lifespan?
Maybe 50% increase.
Yeah, that's significant. That's very statistically significant. That's
no question.
Interesting. So, okay, so you were successful on increasing the lifespan of the yeast. So,
yes.
So now...
Can I just tell you
one
more really cool thing that
we
were able to do?
Yes, of course.
We combined that form of CYP2 with the mutation in the enzyme. Remember the mutation the enzyme made for super short-lived yeast?
Right.
When we combined those two, we got the long-lived yeast, which really proved genetically that enzyme was responsible for making those changes, and that's what leads to the change in the lifespan.
Okay. All right, so I've got lots of good questions. Now that we've laid out the model, we have to take a commercial break because in order to have this show, we pay bills, and this is how we do it. But when we come back, Dr. Buca, I want to start talking about the next steps for your research, first of all, and then I want to get into, you know, whenever these types of breakthroughs come about, like, for instance, when the discovery of increasing telomerase causing a reparation to telomeres, naturally, you know, oncologists around the world came out and said this is dangerous, it's going to produce cancer. I want to talk about the onco effects of this type of a process and kind of delve into some other things as well, okay?
Sure.
Okay, so sit tight. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more of Dr. Jeff Buca. And perhaps, who knows, maybe in our lifetime, we will be able to benefit from this research. So stay tuned.
For a week or two, fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire
entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at USCellWellness.com. USCell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at USCellWellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbells.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I want to remind everybody that later in the show, we're going to have Dr. Andrew on. There was a story picked up by the mainstream media recently that stated that high carbohydrate diets are as effective as high protein diets in mitigating some of the effects of diabetes and even causing a greater degree of weight loss in the diabetic participants. But when we dig into the research, we find out that for whatever reason, someone skewed the results, and the information was misrepresented. We're going to talk about this research later. This is further evidence that when endpoints are created with the objectives in mind for certain research studies, sometimes the organic process is abandoned and the real information doesn't come forth. Right now we're talking with Dr. Jeff Buca. Sorry about that. Okay, so the next logical question, Dr. Buca, is, you have to try to have the same results now in mammalian cells, correct?
Right, and that's where things get a little bit complicated. Before I tackle that, though, I just want to point out one other reason why this research is very exciting and new, and that is because we did some other experiments to look at the relationship between caloric restriction and the effects that we saw that were caused by SIP2.
Okay.
And we were surprised to find that they seem to be working independently of caloric restriction. So whereas we know that caloric restriction can lead to an extended lifespan, here we have new evidence that there's another way, another pathway inside cells to increase longevity without needing to impose caloric restriction. And that's why we call this kind of the intrinsic aging pathway. And now the $64,000 question is, does anything like this happen in mammalian cells?
I have to believe that it does. I really do, and I have to tell you why. There's so much great research out there now on affecting longevity. Back in the late 90s, a group of Japanese researchers discovered a unique peptide called Clotho. Clotho was one of the first in my opinion, really valuable discoveries, although it's a little confounding right now because, like so many things in science, it's not clear cut. It doesn't always seem to, Clotho may be more corollary than causative in its effects on longevity. But nonetheless, then we move forward to sirtuins. More recently, there was some research that was published that shows that people who eat people who tend to eat high carbohydrate diets, especially in high glycemic index carbohydrate diets, they tend to develop a shortening of certain cognitive functions, where people who tend not to elevate blood sugar levels dramatically over long periods of time tend to improve the quality of their memory. We had a doctor on from Canada a few years ago, and his group did it in yeast, and then they did it in worms, and they were moving upstream to mice, but they showed that it was glucose signaling that caused the cellular senescence process to speed up. So, you know, this is all wonderful stuff, and it, for some reason there's like a web. I haven't been able to put it all together yet, but I have all of these different components dancing in my head. You know, telomerase, retinoid X receptor activators. You have all these things, and I feel like very shortly it's all going to come together. And quite frankly, I really feel that it leads back to part of the problem in our society today is the lack of proper nutrition. The word healthy is ubiquitous. People say, well, I eat healthy. And when you look at their diet, you know they're not eating healthy. And I really think it's going to come back to the effects of a new science that's emerging called metabolomics, which is now studying what we put in our mouth and what its metabolites do once they're in our bodies, which is really interesting as well. But you know, I have a funny feeling that your research is going to play out in mammalian cells, especially because of its relationship to SIRT1. Then there's a lot of good evidence that science is valid.
Right, and I should point out that sirtuins are precisely the enzymes that remove those very same acetyl groups from proteins. They're not the only ones that do it. But in this case, this particular acetyl group is not removed by a sirtuin, but by a different deacetylase. But you know, these are the yin and the yang of this modification: the acetyltransferases and enzymes like sirtuins that take these modifications off. So, you know, that's another connection. And interestingly, also, those enzymes depend critically on metabolites that are very, very central, you know, to our own metabolic state.
And see, and this is one of my questions, and I don't want to go there yet, okay? But what I do want to ask you, first of all, is what will the mammalian cell model look like? Will it just be in a cell form in a petri dish, or would it be actually in vivo in mice or something, or even worms?
Yeah, there's the rub. There isn't really an equivalent to this assay that we can do with yeast cells. That admittedly it's very tedious, but at least it only takes 3 or 4 days.
Right.
We don't really have anything like that in a mammalian cell. Mm-hmm. So that means what we're left with is manipulating mice or other animals, perhaps flies or worms. Would be a better stepping stone. But on the other hand, there are some there are some proxies, if you will, for studying aging per se, in the form of metabolic signatures that might be correlated with a better outcome. So my colleagues in this work at the National Taiwan University, Jinying Liu and Yuyi Lin, are both MDs, unlike me. I'm just a lowly PhD. So they are really the ones who are taking the lead on this. But While I share your enthusiasm for the goal, I think it's going to be a long haul to really put this whole picture together. You know, now in biology, we're kind of seeing a sea change in the way people look at things.
Mm-hmm.
We used to look at things one protein and one gene at a time, and now we're beginning to look at things as a whole system, where you're looking, you know, not just at the genes, not just at the proteins, not just at the metabolic state, the nutrients that the cell or the organism is dealing with, but you want to look at all of these things at the same time. And that sounds great, but it's really, really difficult to do well. And so this is the emerging science of systems biology, that's, you know, got a lot of us really, really excited, because potentially this is really going to be the way that we get that holistic understanding that you're striving for of, okay, how does the system of aging really work
in
any given organism?
Right. I mean, now, just hold on to your thought for a second, because I want to just go back to a show we did yesterday. We did a show yesterday on a peptide called thymosin beta 4, which is getting a lot of attention right now. And so last night I went home and, after doing the interview, started doing some research and started connecting dots. And sure enough, retinoic acid, active vitamin A, does upregulate the production of thymosin beta 10, which is a precursor to the beta 4. And we already know that retinoic acid is used in stem cell research for cell differentiation. And what I've been saying on this show for 7 years is, if it works in a dish, why doesn't it obviously would work in us? We have stem cells. How do you get them to deploy, differentiate, and repair body parts? Because obviously nature put them there for a reason. They're not just to take up space. And, you know, you keep coming. And that's why I say I have all these little things dancing in my head, and I'm starting to see connections like a web coming down.
There are a lot of connections. There is no doubt about it. And the trouble is there's so many of them that, you know, sometimes we refer to the complexity of the web as a hairball because it's hard to make sense out of a hairball. A small network or a small web we can understand. And so the challenge really is to pull out of that hairball the small web of things that really, really count for what it is that you're interested in. And that's really the challenge that we're all faced with in the research community in you know, getting you the kind of answers that you want. And, you know, while it's tremendously exciting when we find these connections, we just also have to keep reminding everyone that, you know, it's slow, it costs a lot of money, you know, to keep these labs running and find the right people to do the research. And so, you know, don't count on the cure tomorrow.
No, and I understand that entirely. And one question I want to ask you about is cancer. Anytime we come up with a way of increasing longevity of cells, we always get a pushback from those who study do cancer research by saying, well, you're going to immortalize cancer cells, you're going to increase the probability of cancer. This was said about IGF-1. This was said about growth hormone, its precursor. This has been said now about agents that increase telomerase, which I have my opinion. What is your opinion of any of these attempts to strive to push back cellular senescence? And its direct effect on cancer, would it be causative of cancer, or would it just kind of ride along?
Well, it's an interesting question, and in fact, the answer may not satisfy you very much, but it sort of illustrates the point I was trying to make before, which is that, you know, life is complicated. My colleague Carol Greider, who discovered telomerase, actually has looked at the effects of knocking down or knocking out telomerase on various cancer models. And the fact is that depending on how you measure it, you can show either a decrease in tumorigenesis or an increase, depending on the specific model that you use. So, you know, it all comes back to, you know, what's really the relevant way to measure this. And you said before, you know, if it's true in a dish, it's got to be true in a human. And I think there are many, many executives at drug companies who would love it if that were true. But there have been so many times when there's a drug that works great in a mouse or in another animal model, and then it completely fails in human trials. Unfortunately, it just doesn't quite work that way. In spite of the fundamental conserved nature of biology, we're still left with that ugly fact.
Well, I guess my enthusiasm for your research is in a vacuum. And what I mean by that is just because this improves the quality and longevity on a cellular basis doesn't mean that there are other mechanisms that are pushing back at it, both right. Natural, because the being is designed to, you know, we have one job, like any organism, and that is to procreate and then evacuate. That's all we're here to do. And we like to think that we're here to become superstars and all this other stuff and self-actualization, but that has nothing to do with what nature intended for us. So there's always going to be negative feedback loops to go, hey, you know, you're living a little too long. That's not your job. We need to fix that. And then all of a sudden there's a pushback. But at the same time, to speak to the issue of telomerase, I was at a symposium led by Aubrey de Grey, and he is an advocate for anti-aging, but he's totally opposed to increasing telomerase because he feels that it is dangerous reckless because of its effect on immortalizing cells. And I asked him a couple questions in front of the audience. I said, isn't it true that cancer cells are already immortal? And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. And I said, isn't it true that some cancer cells thrive in an oxygenated environment? And he said, yes. I said, so then I guess it could be said epidemiologically that oxygen causes cancer, so people with cancer should hold their breaths. But that's not true because there are hypoxic cancers as well. So, you know, all of these things turn out to be corollary. None of them are causative. The one thing that I can see that seems to be a no-brainer for even a guy like me who has no letters after his name is that the one common thing in cancer is inflammation. And I believe that that is the root of the change in apoptotic landscape. And all of these other things are just happy to feed the cancer cell because they're happy to feed all cells. That's their job.
Hmm.
So anyway, all right, let's do this. I want to take our last commercial break, and then I want to talk about is it possible to enhance availability of these metabolites through diet, in your opinion? We're talking with Dr. Jeff Buca from Johns Hopkins Medical Center. Great research they're doing over there on longevity. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com,
NutriPlanet.com or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your Miracle Noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
Are your goals longevity, endurance, vitality, or wellness? Well, you'll find everything you're looking for at uscellwellness.com. US Cell Wellness was founded on the belief that total well-being begins at the most basic cellular level. Their natural supplements are designed to work with the body to achieve health and vitality. Their formulas are backed by a team of nutritional researchers, healthcare professionals, and nutritional supplement biochemists. Whether you're concerned for your own wellness or a clinician caring for others, it all starts at uscellwellness.com. Save 20% off your first purchase when you use the coupon code SUPER. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
I'm gonna have to change this thing. So let's stop for a second.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Building a nation of superhumans. That's my goal. Illness be gone. Chronic disease be gone. Okay. Let's finish up. We're talking with Dr. Jeff Buca. So obviously, you know, acetylation, acetic acid, proteins break down into their component amino acid parts, and then the machinery in the body reassembles them in sequences and chains to produce lots of wonderful things that are peptide-based. Do you think, and I know you're not a nutritionist, perhaps, but do you think that there is a way to enhance the body's ability to have these raw materials on hand by, say, you know, including the occasional tablespoon of vinegar on the salad or something like that?
Well, as you said, I am not a nutritionist, and that's definitely a little bit outside my comfort zone, but I would imagine that an extra spoon of vinegar on the salad certainly wouldn't hurt. on the other hand, you know, your body's homeostatic mechanisms are obviously, you know, they're going to do just fine whether you have one or two spoons of vinegar on the salad because, you know, our cells are very good at fine-tuning things to be at the state where they want to be. I mean, I think your question is a great one, and I think the answer is that there almost certainly are going to be ways to do that, and by applying, you know, this sort of holistic science of systems biology, where we look, you know, not just at nutritional experimentation in a vacuum, but combined with analysis like metabolomics that you mentioned, where you look at, you know, the different metabolites in the different tissues and how they respond to the nutrients. You look at which genes go up and which genes go down and respond to those nutrients. And you look at the genetic data that are out there in various systems that are telling us which genes might be important players in longevity. By putting that information together, I think we definitely will get to a point where we can say, this is a balance, this is this is a kind of balanced diet that's really much better for longevity than this other one. You know, I'm not going to tell you whether to eat more pasta or less pasta. I don't know the answer to that.
Dr. Jeff, I think
there will come a time when we have that kind of information.
Dr. Jeff, I tell the audience that, and since I have no accreditations, I don't have to worry about anybody stripping me of of anything, because I will tell you that there is no doubt in my mind. Dr. Cynthia Kenyon's group at University of California at San Francisco have done some amazing research into ancestral diets, which, you know, unfortunately have been now painted with the Paleolithic diet paintbrush, because the media loves to, you know, poke fun and make things sound like, well, we're a bunch of zealots. But the reality is that diets that are low in foods that spike insulin and spike blood sugar levels, that mm-hmm. are high in animal proteins from animals that eat natural diets like grass-fed cows and chickens that are allowed to eat worms, we know that those types of foods actually are better suited for our genetics. And Cynthia Kenyon's group, I've been trying to get her on the show forever, but she's so deep in more research that she's not willing to come on. But she gave a private, I don't know what you'd call it, you know, introduction to her research to David Kekich. He's got a group that claims that they are working to reverse aging by the year 2030, I believe. And they have some brilliant scientists. This is not like, you know, some hokey group that's coming out with a new supplement. This is their exclusive goal. And he's listened to her, and he said it's just astonishing, the research, well, you know. So
yeah, I mean, I'm personally, you know, I like to eat that way myself. You know, it's just my personal preference. But I do think one interesting thing to keep in mind with regard to that, you know, caveman diet or whatever you want to call it, is that those guys were not being selected for long life. In fact, they were, you know, nature was red in tooth and claw, and they tended to die very young. So, you know, you could certainly make the argument that, you know, our metabolism and so on is adapted to a diet like that, but I don't necessarily see that there's a direct correlation with longevity.
Well, then what I propose on this show all the time is an ancestral diet. I say go back 200 to 300 years. Mm-hmm. Go back to the environment that your genetics arrive from, Ireland, wherever it is. And we're talking about without the influence of famine or anything extreme. Look at the foods that were natural to those people in those areas, because a lot of times we develop polymorphisms to be able to utilize certain foods, like people who come from environments where milk was not readily available. They may have that lactose intolerance issue. But the point being, I don't think you have to go all the way back to Paleolithic times. And I would respectfully disagree with the reason those guys died young, because of the elements and the sheer danger in life. But you just have to go back 200 or 300 years, and you'll find out that you have ancestors who never knew their cholesterol levels, didn't have any idea what their blood pressure was, and they lived into the 8th and 9th decade of life. But more surprisingly, they were robust. They were still working. They were raising their grandchildren. They were not in a nursing home, sitting in a chair, you know, facing a big screen TV, waiting for someone to change their diaper. Something has really gone wrong. And when you just start asking those kind of questions, like, how could it be that they ate eggs and bacon and high fat foods and they didn't have these problems? And I don't care what the answer is. The answer is your own personal journey, but you have to ask those questions. What is wrong with today's model? I come back to food has become adulterated. It is not good for the types of food that you go buy in your grocery store are not good. And I promote on this show finding a family farm. And that's what my audience does. We're zealots about it. We drink raw unpasteurized milk. And these are the things going back, not to the caveman, but just to my ancestors 200 or 300 years ago. That's all.
Uh-huh.
That's my whole thing. But anyway, now I gave you my spiel. Listen, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today. This is wonderful research. Will you please keep us posted as you progress with this?
I certainly will, and thank you very much for having me on the show.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to have Dr. Andrew on. We're going to talk about some research that hit the media recently, and actually, it may not have been accurate, but go figure. We'll be right back. No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan-2, Mechanical Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Companies.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both the Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on the Blueprint forum to ensure your success.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Melatonin is the best sleep aid in the world, but it has one flaw, the delivery method. Melatonin tablets are not efficient and can wear off too soon, leaving you wide awake in the middle of the night. Time-release tablets make you feel groggy in the morning. Now there's the Age4 Sustained Delivery Melatonin Patch. This transdermal patch delivers a precise amount of melatonin from the moment you apply it and continues to do so for an entire 6 hours. This ensures a full night's sleep while waking refreshed and ready to go. Visit ageforce.com and use the coupon code SHRMEL and save 50% off your first order. Go to ageforce.com and use SHRMEL today and sleep better tomorrow.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. And of course, in my quest to build a superhuman nation, I require intelligent guests that can see through the smoke and mirrors of the mainstream media. Uh-oh. Hold on. Listen to a little music. Don't you fight it, you gotta do the funk of beat.
And here I was working so hard to give him this big buildup about how it takes intelligent guests to come on this show and debunk science that you'll find in the mainstream media. And I lost him, but he's back online with us. It's Dr. Andrew. How you doing, Dr. Andrew?
I'm doing fine. Finally back online. Yeah.
Yes, finally back online. Isn't that funny? Okay, so anyway, we've got lots of good things to talk about today. One of the things I'd like to start talking about was something that you discussed in the single best blog to read, which is Supversity, which you'll find at Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.blogspot.com. Recently, there was a study that was propagated and promoted in the mainstream media indicating that a high carbohydrate diet was as effective as a high protein diet in treating individuals with diabetes and getting them to lose body fat. But that was just what the abstract said, and that's what the mainstream media carried forward, right?
Yeah, exactly. In that strict or in the conclusion, it says that this study shows that a high carbohydrate diet is about is exactly as effective as a high protein diet I don't really know the exact words, but about to treat type 2 diabetics. And the interesting thing, or the first interesting thing about this study is that effectively none of the diets or none of the subjects in the study had real benefits, because the main outcome or the two main outcome variables scientists looked at were weight loss and changes in insulin sensitivity. And the weight loss over the 24-month period was, well, mediocre at best. Many of the subjects did not lose any weight, and a few or a handful lost some weight, but for none of them, or at least statistically speaking for none of them, this intervention had any effect on their type 2 diabetes. So their insulin levels did not improve, their glucose levels did not improve, and their H1BC, those long-lasting glucose or long-term measures of glucose management, they also did not improve. And so the answer, the real outcome of the study, even if we do not look closer into what the scientists A call a high carbohydrate and a high protein diet, and B what the subjects made of the advice the scientists gave them, even if we discard that, then the result would be that a high carbohydrate diet is not effective in treating type 2 diabetes, because at least the patients did not get better.
Okay, but also, wasn't there actually some compliance issues in the high protein group that when you extrapolate out, you find out that the high protein group actually lost a statistically significant greater amount of weight because they never hit their caloric intake because of the sense of satiety that is promoted by a high protein diet?
Well, in fact, it was a little different. Because the way you said it would suggest that the high protein diet was so satisfying that they just ate less and lost more weight. But exactly the opposite was actually the case. The people in the high protein diet, they ate much more than the people in the high carb diet, and so lost the exact same amount of weight. And I just plugged in the exact figures from the study in the different study periods, and especially in the first 6 months, which were actually the only 6 months where the subjects really effectively lost weight in both groups. And in those first 6 months, the weight loss per kilocalorie reduction, that is the amount of weight that was lost per calorie the subjects ate less than they would usually do, was more than double the amount in the high protein group versus the high carb group. So this speaks for the effectivity of a higher protein diet versus a high carb diet.
But that's not what the mainstream media promoted, right? The mainstream media went out and said high carbohydrate diet as effective as high protein diet in this particular situation.
The funny thing is that bottom line often was something like, as thousands of studies before have shown, a high carbohydrate diet is the effective way to treat type 2 diabetes and all this mumbo-jumbo you hear about in the internet that a high protein diet would be a better way to go is a fault, as this study clearly shows. And interesting enough, actually those subjects, all of them had to reduce their caloric intake per day by roughly 500 kilocalories. And none of these subjects actually met this criteria. Most of them cut about 150 to 300 kilocalories per day. And interestingly, the people in the high-carb group, they reduced their daily food intake by roughly 50% of what they had to. So they ate 250 kilocalories per day less, while the subjects in the high-protein group, they ate only roughly 100 kilocalories less and still lost the same amount of weight.
So in your summation, after digging through the research, the actual research, not just stopping at the abstract, because most people just stop at the abstract and go, oh, this must be truth. Your summation is that the high-protein diet still remains more effective because you can eat more, which obviously will add to satiety, and continue to lose the same amount of weight. And there was no, well, first of all, answer that question. So do you believe that the high-protein diet was a better alternative?
Well, even in this study, the high-protein diet was certainly the better alternative, but it was no treatment.
Okay. And was any consideration given to lean body mass in the way of weight loss?
No, obviously it was not.
See, and yes. I would bet a month's pay that the individuals that ate the high-protein diet either maintained more muscle, even added a fraction of more muscle, while the group that ate the high-carbohydrate diet lost a significant amount of muscle along with whatever else they lost. That's my bet.
Well, that's a clear-cut possibility, but there is another very interesting fact about this study, and that is what the high-protein diet was supposed to be. That is a diet that included 30% of the calories in form of protein, so I would not say that this is particularly high. And the second thing is what the subjects in the study made of it. I've already mentioned that they were supposed to eat 500 kilocalories per day less, and they did not match that criteria. The high-protein group ate about 100 kilocalories per day less, which I would say is not as bad as the second mistake, which was that of those subjects, or of all the subjects in the study, and these were 419 obese diabetics, of those, only 12 managed to get to 30% of their caloric intake from protein, and that only in the first 6 months. The rest did not match the criteria. That is, they did not even eat a high-protein diet, but maybe slightly more protein than the high-carb group.
Isn't that amazing that just a small amount of protein increase has such a dramatic effect through thermogenesis? Dr. Andro, we have to take a break. I'm getting messages from listeners. There is some static on the line. We're talking to you all the way from Germany. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and we're going to reconnect with Dr. Andro. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. We've got more great stuff to talk about.
Get everything right, and I want you to. I get everything right. I'm not playing rude. I get everything right. I get up and swing. You make me sing. So here we go, it doesn't pay, and you protect me no more. When I get up, I'll break it down, I'll double back, and for sure, I go back to zero.
So are the parents.
peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains diaspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle building fat burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Take it back, take it back.
Just want to remind listeners that Age Force is running a free month trial on the hydroxycobalamin patch and the melatonin patch. If you go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad, use the coupon code SHRFREE, SHRFREE. You can get a free month supply of the methyl cobalamin, methyl B12 patch, or the melatonin patch, or both. So check that out. We're talking with Dr. Andro. Dr. Andro, you know, this, aside from the fact that, okay, the media does no research. So if they're handed a study or a press release, and the press release says, high carbohydrate diet as effective as high protein diet in weight loss in diabetic subjects, and then it has a brief dissertation, kind of summary of the research, and obviously it's slanted to position things a certain way. They don't really do any research. They don't go get one of our team to read this study and find out if it's true. They just read it. So you really can't blame the media per se for passing on what they hear. But where does this research like this go wrong, do you think? Do you think that it was the individuals who produced the study, they had a conflict of interest, or the endpoints were so committed to that the organic process of the study was just abandoned?
Well, I guess there are many factors that influence this, because in the end, it's always what the first concern you have as a scientist is you must get financial support. And there are generally two ways to get support for a study like this, because if you have 490 or over 400 subjects, this is a very expensive business. And you cannot finance this with just the financial means of your institution. So you will have to get either a company to finance it, and this will, of course, only work if you do drug tests, because no company will put money on a study that would show that any form of diet, high carbohydrate or low carbohydrate, would be able to ameliorate or even heal type 2 diabetes, because first they could not sell this diet, and they obviously this would obviously compromise sales of
their drugs. Medications. Right.
Yeah. And so the only persons or the only place you can go to is are the officials, and we all know that the officials or the official guidelines will tell you. They will even advise you if you are a medical practitioner that you have to put your type 2 diabetics on a high carbohydrate diet. So if you get paid by someone who's expecting you to confirm his great wisdom or his wise advice, then you do obviously have some problems if your conclusion is not, or if your data is not 100% conclusive in terms of evidence against what your financier wants to hear.
Right.
And in this, the real problem was that even, well, I would guess there might have been a better result if any of those subjects had managed to actually eat at least his 30% of protein, and if for what is even more important, if the people had stuck to their diets, because if you take a look at how things went on, then in the first month, all the subjects lost weight, all the subjects lost weight off them or centimeters off their waistline, and everything went quite fine, and as I already said, it went better in the high-protein group. And when the months passed by, up to the 24th month, that is the 2 years mark, people were basically eating the same shit they were before, and obviously they were just as sick as before. And the main problem for me, or the main message for me from the study is that you really have to find ways or to come up with diets or solutions that people are willing and able to follow. And I would venture to guess that the main problem for many of these participants was probably that they did not even know how a high-protein diet looks like. And when I usually use some images to illustrate these articles on subversity, and when I looked for an image, I found a young boy who ate a cheeseburger, or he's just about to eat a cheeseburger. And for the average consumer, a cheeseburger is, of course, high protein food, because it has meat in it.
Right.
And these common understandings of diet, that is, for example, if you have a pizza and you have pizza salami, then it's a pizza, it's a high protein food because there's meat on it.
Right.
And these mistakes or these problems also occur in science when scientists tell their subjects to fill out those dietary logs.
Right.
First of all, especially when you are treating or when you are dealing with obese people, there is a certain tendency, I would call it, not to report all the things you eat or not to report all the things that you eat correctly.
Yeah, right.
So if we assume that this tendency also occurred in this study, then I would venture to guess that in the high-protein group, which officially eat or 800 kilocalories per day less, but in fact, most of them ate about the same as before, at least in terms of the amount of energy they consumed. And so if you consider all these facts together, then the notion that the study is, or you must actually conclude that the study is completely irrelevant, other than it tells you that you have to be very careful when you read studies like this and other studies investigating real people. Because when science and the real world meet, then sometimes very strange things can happen. Like in this case, a high-protein diet becomes a standard American diet.
Right.
Or another study I had in the news about a week ago was when scientists tested whether the recommended diet to reduce your cholesterol levels and improve your heart health. What would happen if you put a completely healthy man for a few days, I think it was 3 days, on this good heart healthy diet? And the result was that their cholesterol profile, if you consider that not total cholesterol, but the size of the particle size and the particle distribution is what is important, then this healthy, high carbohydrate, low fat diet, which should improve your heart health,
right,
contributed to profound increases in cardiovascular disease risk, because the participants who had formerly been eating what you usually refer to as the standard American diet, their cholesterol profiles became worse within 3 days, because the amount of those small, highly oxidizable LDL particles increased. So much of the things that are still commonly accepted as being true, if you really look closer into the science, then many of them have never been really thoroughly investigated in human studies. Often you have only rodent studies. Or another problem is that some of them are based on paradigms which are, well, still looming large, but actually have been proven wrong. For example, that total cholesterol levels would be a good indicator for heart disease. If you always believe that this is true as a scientist, then you design studies with an outcome that controls LDL or total cholesterol.
And that's a great point. That's a great point, because part of my frustration with research today is that the research has clearly defined and very, very rigid endpoints in mind. And this influences the journey. So, you know, if you say, look, I want to go to California and I want to get there through the warmest climate, you're going to go to the south of the United States. It's like, if once you have that endpoint in mind, you almost lose the organic process of the research. This was very, very eloquently discussed by a guest of mine a couple of weeks ago when we talked about metabolomics. And he said, you know, we don't go out looking for which metabolites do what. We look at the whole spectrum of metabolites in the body. And then we see, wow, look at this and look at that. So it's more of an organic process. They're not just going out and saying, let's look at these three metabolites in a vacuum and see what happens. They're looking at this whole spectrum of everything. And then they're going, wow, when this is high, this is low, and this influences that. And now all of a sudden you have this broader picture, because that's the problem. Our bodies are so darn complex. The notion that we're going to find any one thing that influences anything is kind of like saying that if I sneeze here in the United States, that something in Germany is going to happen. It's impossible.
Yeah, that is true. When you sneeze, there's something happening here. Because that is what was in the 80s. It was in all over the late press, even the so-called butterfly effect. When the butterfly in the Brazilian jungle swings his wings, then the weather in New York changes. And in fact, this is based on physics theory, chaos theory. And in essence, instead of the laws of thermodynamics, of which we all know that they do not apply to the human body because it's no closed system.
Right.
So instead of energy in, energy out, Actually, what scientists would have to do is they would have to try to come up with ways to apply chaos theory to the human body to explain how things happen and how things interrelate, because the system is in a way chaotic. It's so highly integrated that wherever you change, you make a little change that can have influences on the whole other body part, the whole other organ. And I think this is the fundamental problem we are still having, that we are looking for mechanical solutions. You press button A and event C happens. And even if that happens in 9 out of 10 people, there it's quite certain that in number 10 it does not work. And this is a problem, especially for people looking for solutions, because many people believe that scientists will help them, they will rescue them, and they know what to do. But in fact, scientists are only human, and especially as far as our own metabolism is concerned, I would say that we know about ourselves about as much as we know about the universe, if not less.
Right.
Because we are so complex. We are all, in a way, we are all the same. Yet even you as an individual, when you've been obese and you have lost, say, 100 pounds,
right,
then the low or no carbohydrate diet you have been following and you are so successful now on before might suddenly not be the right way for you to diet, or the right way for you to eat, I should say. Because now you are suddenly insulin sensitive again, and thusly you cannot, you are getting hypoglycemic, or you are, for example, have become very active and need some more readily available energy, or other things have happened. So there are changes, not only or differences, not only between different persons and between different scenarios and between different ailments, but also after you, well,
different periods, different
how you change.
Yeah,
will also change what works for you.
Right. I was going to say, and also different times in the organism's lifespan, by whatever the occurrences are.
Yeah. And also external differences. For example, many people when they end school or when they leave college, they've been playing football, for example, their whole life, or doing some sort of sport for their whole life, and then they are graduating from college, starting their first job, and they are no longer on the team. But they still go out with their friends on the weekend and eat pizza and drink beer and wonder where this little gut comes from suddenly. And this is not to say that you have to expend the energy that you are eating, because this is idiotic. But if your life changes, then the way you live or the way you eat, everything must be in concert to work.
Right. We have to take a commercial break. We've got lots more to talk about. If you've never read the Subversity blog, you're really missing out. Dr. Andrew puts so much work into each of his articles. You cannot find better research done by a human being than Dr. Andrew does. And he puts these articles together in easy to read, quite entertaining forms, actually. Go to Subversity, SUPPVERSITY.blogspot.com. And if you're looking for someone to write and you happen to pass his qualification requests, Dr. Andrew can also write for your website or product information. So you can reach out to him at the Subversity website. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
lead.
I have never endorsed a training guide before The Blueprint by Rob Regish. The Blueprint combines the best techniques for building muscle and gaining strength with the best tips on supplementation and nutrition. Everyone who has used The Blueprint has surpassed their expectations in muscular gains in record time. You'll learn how to break through any plateau, how to make gains from every single workout, and all for the price of a single supplement purchase. Get your copy of The Blueprint today by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Blueprint banner ad. Order today and get copies of both The Blueprint 2.0 and 3.0, plus ongoing support on The Blueprint Forum to ensure your success.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for, and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
6-Oxo is back thanks to Iron Mag Lab, the gold standard for testosterone boosting and estrogen reduction that all other over-the-counter aromatase inhibitors are compared to, is 6-Oxo progesterone. 6-Oxo is the active ingredient in the new E-Control RX from Iron Mag Labs. Iron Mag Labs has resurrected the beast that has been clinically shown to raise free testosterone by as much as 226%. As men age, estrogen rises and testosterone drops. E-Control RX can help reverse this from happening. E-Control RX is suitable for post-cycle therapy to jumpstart natural testosterone production. Get E-Control RX today. Go to ironmaglabs.com today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Andro. We're talking about research, when scientific research meets real life. And also, when scientific research is skewed in an effort to send the wrong message. Dr. Andro, you read a lot of research. I mean, you dwell in the world of the scientific. Do you ever lose faith when you start reading these studies and you see these kind of flaws? Like for instance, self-reporting, turning over something as important as self-reporting over to the participants, hoping that they remember. I mean, I know for a fact with myself, even my training log, sometimes I forget to mark down what I did in a particular movement, sets and reps. So as I'm leaving the gym, I go back and I think, did I do 11 or 12 reps with that? And I go in later. This type of self-reporting in and of itself seems to be a big drawback in research, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is. And you actually see relatively rarely that scientists check, for example, for compliance. This was a real strength of the study, but unfortunately it was mentioned only in the extensive discussion. Even if you wanted to, most people cannot read this because you obviously need access to the full text of the article. And if you are not working for a university, then you have to pay for each article, say, $30 or something like that. And very few studies actually do this. And in this case, it was a lucky coincidence because this is one data set from a large large cohort or a larger study and a well-financed study where they actually had the money to do an analysis how accurate the reporting was. But, of course, they did not check for all their 400 participants, but, say, for I don't know, maybe 50, and they checked how accurate those dietary logs were. And I think we, in this study, they were relatively so accuracy in terms of what the participants said they ate and what they actually ate. And I think in this study it was relatively close, like 85% accuracy, or in this case, this is calculated as a correlation. So the data in itself is relatively accurate, but the problem is that you obviously ask people to say, or you cannot ask people to give you the exact not even the exact macronutrient composition of the meals, let alone micronutrient composition. So you will have, for example, on your list, what did you have for dinner or what did you have for breakfast? And then there are a few options, and the participant will just check what is next or what he believes is closest to what he ate. This is one version, or another version is that the participant filled in what he actually ate or she actually ate, and then the scientists have to come up with their interpretation of what this could be. So, for example, if I wrote, I had scrambled eggs, then one person just puts his eggs in one of those pans where they won't fry at the bottom and does it without oil, while the other person uses half a bottle of whatever form of vegetable oil to avoid that his eggs will get or will remain, or half of the eggs will remain in the pan. And so, in essence, it's very difficult to really know what your subjects do, and this is nothing the scientists are to blame for. You just can't run. If you want real accurate data, you would have to take 500 people and lock them in a room or in a hospital setting, for example, and feed them best by test tubes, because if people don't like their food, they will take it and say, wait a minute, I have to go to the toilet, and then they
throw
it
away. It's true.
And in essence, this is a real problem, especially for those hundreds and hundreds of epidemiological studies, where they just call a set of people and then say, we asked 1,000 people, and we made sure that they come from all different financial backgrounds and all different social backgrounds, and they either sent them a list or 10 sheets of paper where they had to cross or answer certain questions, or they called them and did telephone interviews, and this is just notoriously unreliable. Because, well, we all know women never tell their exact weight, so you would always have to add a few pounds for the women, and for the men, for most, you would, well, okay, depending on the age, but there are some men who obviously like to give you false figures as well. And this goes on not only with weight, but with all the other variables you are looking for.
Right.
And
right.
Then you obviously have the problem that you mostly have a built-in bias by what you are looking for. For example, if you have actual data from, say, 500 people, you have their cholesterol values, and you want to find out if meat increases heart risk, and you accept the common truth, or the false truth, I should say, that total cholesterol indicates heart disease risk, and you ask them, are you eating meat? And they say, well, I had, for dinner, I had a pizza salami. Oh, yeah, there was red meat on this pizza salami, so they had meat, and this increases heart risk because this person happens to have high cholesterol. There are so many, well, flaws, you could say, in this conclusion that you really have to be careful, especially when you are from now looking back at older studies, Because meanwhile, this cholesterol move is, even within the scientific community, it is it has lost all credibility. So in newer studies, you mostly see people really at least taking HDL and LDL levels and looking for very low density lipoprotein and trying to really make it a little more complex. But if you then look at discussions, and you often find that scientists XYZ found in, say, 1980 that eating, I don't know, eggs, for example, increases heart risk, increases the risk of heart disease.
Right.
And this conclusion could still have been based on the assumption that because eating eggs raises cholesterol, this raises heart, this raises
right.
the risk of heart disease.
Right. So in other words, the endpoint wasn't to see if there was a greater degree of heart disease. It was just to see if there was a greater degree of cholesterol elevation. So, and this is exactly this is exactly why people who point at things, they always say, oh, well, that's not FDA approved. The FDA doesn't approve, the FDA did not approve statin drugs because they decrease heart disease. They approved statin drugs because the endpoints supplied by the pharmaceutical companies were that they altered cholesterol levels. They got to remember this, because when the FDA says that they can go ahead and say that statin drugs reduce heart disease risk, it's not because they did a study showing that those statin drugs cause less heart disease in their patients. It just showed that the statin drugs lowered cholesterol, and the assumption du jour is that cholesterol increases heart disease. So de facto, it decreases heart disease, but it doesn't. And this is why people who say to me, well, you promote supplements that are not FDA approved. FDA means nothing. It means nothing. Anybody who thinks the FDA is doing anything for them is stupid. I'm sorry, you are. The FDA is not doing anything for you. They're doing things for their clients. So I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get off track there.
Well, interestingly, when you bring up the subject of supplements, this is obviously not only the case for heart disease and cholesterol, but it is also the case for many supplements. And when I started with Subversity, the name came up because I was mainly interested in supplements and in looking into which supplements really work and which don't. And only yesterday I posted a study about constituent in many, many common herbs, which is, rosmarinic acid. It's in rosemary, but also in other herbs.
Okay.
And in this study, that was done in Iran, I believe, they found that supplementation with this extract increased testosterone levels by 75% in rats. And this is just another example of those one-time studies where suddenly, all of a sudden, everybody wants to buy this supplement and thinks, wow, I will see phenomenal muscle gains and the fat will melt away. But in the end, it turns out to be another non-starter. And if I would take all of these studies which show great antioxidant capacities in whatever exotic herb, herb or fruit or whatever, and put them on the Subversity, I could have about, well, I would say 20 of those per day, I think.
Right.
Because at the right dose and in the Petri dish, or at the right dose and in rodents where you just inject it into the mouth, and almost everything is either toxic or has some sort of health benefit. And this is a problem for people who are always looking and trying to find the one magic pill, the one magic bullet that will solve all their problems. But when you think about it, all those problems have come about in many years of your life. And if we are honest with ourselves, then it may have taken us, say, 20 years to get chubby and another 10 years to get obese. So do we really expect to change this within 3 weeks of dieting, 3 months of dieting, or even by taking supplement its absorb or maybe a pharmacological drug within 1 year. It's just unrealistic because
right.
our bodies, they take time to get rid of even the waste, quote-unquote waste, we have accumulated over the years. And this, when we are doing everything right, then this does, of course, go somewhat faster than the decades in which it accumulated. But it's not, I go to bed today and I wake up another man or another woman the next day. And people often get discouraged too easily. And they often also they do not see their own success. And this is a real problem. To keep people motivated when the first weeks they lose, say, at least 1 pound per week, and suddenly they hit a plateau, as people like to say, then they feel something is not working. So, oh no, another diet failed me. And often it just takes sticking to what you do, and if that does not work, then you have to look into what could I change? What makes the difference?
Right.
And do simple and little tweaks. And do not take 10 supplements or add 10 supplements at once, because you will never know which
is working, right.
And which does give you headaches. And I see this mistakes over and over again. And people go on various bulletin boards and ask, I have this and this problem. And then they get 10 different opinions of people who they are really honest and telling them, I had a similar problem and I used this and this worked. And another one said, well, my problem was a little different and I used another approach and that worked. And instead of trying the one they believe that is the best for them, they are trying 10 different ways at once. And this is time to fail. This cannot work. This is the same as the people who've always believed that fat is bad for you. Now they're hearing carbohydrates are bad for them. What do? They don't eat fat. They don't eat carbohydrates. All they eat is protein from chicken breast.
Right.
And then they end up and tell me, I have central fatigue syndrome. Well, why do you have central fatigue syndrome? Because you don't eat any food where your body can derive energy from.
Right.
It's quite obvious that you must be fatigued.
Professor Dr. Andrew, we have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about what you're working on for your Subversity blog so that we can tell people what to be looking forward to. If you've never read Dr. Andrew's Subversity blog, you're missing out on a great resource. It's Subversity, SUPPVERSITY .blogspot.com. We'll be right back.
If you're like me, you avoid the insulin spike from eating pasta, but not anymore. Miracle Noodle is the world's first no-calorie, no-carbohydrate noodle. You heard me right. Now you can enjoy pasta dishes and stay on your low-carb diet. They have fettuccine, linguine, rigatoni, and more. Even angel hair pasta is now a no-calorie, no-carb food. And Miracle Noodle tastes great. So go to superhumanradio.com today and click the Miracle Noodle banner ad to learn more about how you can start enjoying pasta again, even when you're dieting. Find your miracle noodle at superhumanradio.com today.
You already know how great the Testo 100 Transdermal Testosterone Boosting Patch is. Well, now it's even better. The new and improved Testo 100 patch now contains D-aspartic acid, stinging nettle root, and androstenotrione to increase free testosterone while reducing sex hormone binding globulin and aromatase enzyme. It's still made in FDA certified labs and contains all the great ingredients that made it work originally. But now it's even better. Bypassing the stomach to deliver its ingredients throughout the day for greater increases in energy, libido, and muscle-building, fat-burning effects. Get 50% off when you use the coupon code SHR4. Go to AGEFORCE.com and use the coupon code SHR4 and get your new Testo 100 patch today. AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
lead.
No two amino acids have been studied more than creatine and beta-alanine, and no two amino acids have been shown to independently improve athletic performance better than creatine and beta-alanine. When you join these two ergogenic powerhouses together, you get unparalleled results. And when you bypass the stomach and deliver them right to the bloodstream, you get the best single legal performance-enhancing product bar none. Save 50% off your initial order by using the coupon code CB50. That's CB50. Go to ageforce.com today.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking this hour with Dr. Andro. So, Dr. Andro, what's in the works for your next blog post? I know that you're very busy. You have professorial duties, but you always try to keep your blog fresh.
Well, in essence, I'm not quite sure what will be tomorrow in the news, because I will have to check what's interesting out there. But I have something on training modalities, I think, because I like to change things up, to have some news about exercise and some about supplementation, some more general health news, and I want to tailor to everyone's needs at least to a certain extent. And it's unfortunate that there are really few studies into different exercise modalities. Like people are always asking how many sets to do, how many reps to do, which intensities, what does work, what does not work. And in this particular area, there are really few new scientific results and even few studies at all done specifically for healthy individuals trying to improve their physiques. There's pretty much done for rehabilitation purposes and especially for exercise training for the elderly. But this is another problem people often overlook. If something is good for a diabetic, then chances that it is good for a healthy human being are usually not very high. For example, taking chromium is not really useful for a healthy human being, because the way chromium works is that it helps the diabetic to produce more insulin. And if you are not insulin resistant, then more insulin is not the best idea, I would say. So if you do not have a deficiency in chromium, you should not take additional 1,000 micrograms of chromium per day, just because a study in diabetics showed that this improves their health. And in essence, this is something I want to come to in what I call the intermittent thought series, which is always on Sunday. It's a rather casual, most casual post of the week, I would say, because usually I do quote studies, but I do not focus on a single study, but rather try to support my train of thought with information that is out there. And currently I'm trying to tackle the whole issue of insulin resistance from a slightly other perspective. And I think, at least the only better known expert who I know who has said that there is a positive side to insulin resistance is Dr. Scott Connolly. who has pointed out that even healthy people can be insulin resistant. And in the first installment of this particular series, I discussed a study on what is called the marathon paradox. That is basically that after running a marathon and during running a marathon, you become insulin resistant, not as insulin resistant as a diabetic person, but at least your insulin sensitivity drops by 20%. And this is a totally normal physical reaction because it facilitates fatty acid oxidation, disperses your glucose stores, so that you do not drop down hypoglycemic either during the run or after the run. And so I'm trying to provide a different perspective on some of those bad things like insulin resistance,
right,
which actually have their place or their physiological function in a normal organism. And in this particular series, I'm trying to develop, well, a picture of how insulin resistance develops in the course of what you could call a whole life, and then later turns into a diabetes. And the main problem there is that there is a certain time point when your body suddenly does not know what to do, because he is quite good in either burning glucose or either burning fat for fuel. But if you are feeding him too much fat and too much glucose at once, which is basically the standard American diet, then he cannot burn either effectively. And you can also achieve the same effect if you are feeding your body too much glucose and too much fructose, because he will take the fructose and turn all that fructose into fat. And thusly, you will have the same problem. And in essence, you end up, when you're really diabetic or type 2 diabetic, then your cells are starving, but your blood is full of sugar and your fat cells are bursting to the seams. But still, your cells have low energy, and therefore you are also still hungry. And this is a real problem, and I'm trying to look a little different, to give a little different perspective on how this comes about and how your body is actually trying to avoid the worst thing happening. And by doing that, actually makes you sick. Because my mantra is that, in essence, nobody's body wants to be sick. It's just a result of being exposed to circumstances which it cannot handle.
Okay. Sounds good. And people can find these writings at Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.blogspot.com. Stay on the line, Dr. Andrew, because I want to speak to you after the show is over, okay? So just sit tight for a second.
Yes.
I also want to thank Dr. Jeff Buca for coming on and talking about the research from Johns Hopkins Medical Center on the anti-aging effects, or how they are trying to turn back or reactivate or initiate the fountain of youth. Hopefully their research will play out in mammalian cells as well. We'll have him back on. And tomorrow's Casual Friday. Don't forget, not only do we have a great Casual Friday where we're going to be reading from iTunes, those of you who posted your profound support of the show, we're going to give you shout-outs tomorrow. If you haven't done that, please go to iTunes and comment on the show and rate it to help the show get the respect it deserves on iTunes. And then during the second hour, we're going to be talking to Uber lobbyist Jack Abramoff about how this government compromises your rights on Capitol Hill, the corruption. It's going to be a really, really great show. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Thanks for listening.